Every garden begins with a seed, but in the Caribbean, knowing when and what to plant can make all the difference. With tropical sun, bursts of rain, and shifting microclimates, timing becomes your most powerful tool. In this episode, we break down the easiest crops to start with, like callaloo, pak choi, tomatoes, peppers, and thyme, and when to put them in the ground for the best results. Whether you're growing on a rooftop in Kingston or a hillside in Tobago, we'll explore how to read the seasons, choose the right seeds, and understand why heirloom and organic varieties matter more than ever. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1, Understanding the Caribbean Climate. Your growing calendar. Before you plant your first seed, you need to understand the rhythm of the Caribbean climate. Unlike temperate zones with four distinct seasons, the Caribbean follows a tropical pattern: hot sun, seasonal rain, and warm nights year-round. But that doesn't mean you can grow everything all the time. Let's break it down. First wet season versus dry season. The year is typically divided into two key parts. Dry season, from December to May, expect less rainfall, cooler breezes, and intense sunlight. This is an ideal time to grow heat-tolerant crops and start early root vegetables. It's also the best season for beginner growers. Wet season. From June to November, rainfall increases, humidity rises, and the threat of storms or hurricanes can affect crops. This is when you want to plant moisture-loving greens and quick-growing produce that can handle fluctuations. Each island has its own microclimate. For example, in Jamaica, dry season is most reliable between January and April. In Trinidad, rains often return earlier, sometimes in May. Barbados may have milder transitions but heavier, short bursts of rain. So always check your local extension office or ask elders in your community to learn when to expect weather shifts. 2. Temperature and sunlight. Most Caribbean islands average 26 degrees Celsius to 32 degrees Celsius, 78 degrees Fahrenheit to 90 degrees Fahrenheit throughout the year. That's warm enough for tropical crops to thrive, but also hot enough to burn young seedlings if unprotected. Direct sunlight is essential for flowering plants like tomatoes and peppers, but herbs and leafy greens like callaloo may bolt, go to seed too quickly, if exposed to too much heat. Partial shade can help extend their growing cycle. Sunlight hours don't vary much in the Caribbean. You'll usually get 11 to 13 hours of daylight year-round, but dry season sun tends to be more intense. 3. Soil moisture and drainage. In the dry season, water retention becomes a challenge, especially in containers. Use mulch, compost, or coconut husk to help your soil hold moisture. In the wet season, drainage becomes critical. Make sure your buckets, beds, or bags have holes and airflow to prevent root rot. Raised beds and recycled buckets are ideal because they allow you to control both drainage and soil health more easily than planting in open ground. 4. Pest pressure by season. Pests follow the rain. During the wet season, you'll see more aphids, leaf miners, caterpillars, and slugs. Humidity creates breeding grounds for fungi and disease. Choose pest-resistant varieties and use neem oil or garlic spray every 10 to 14 days as a preventative measure. During the dry season, pests are less aggressive, but birds and squirrels may target fruiting plants, especially tomatoes, corn, and sweet peppers. Use mesh netting or build simple physical barriers when needed. Create your personal planting calendar. The best way to succeed is to observe, test, and document. Start a simple log using crop name, planting date, weather that week, soil mix used, success rate, germination, harvest size, notes on pests, disease, and flavor. This becomes your growing calendar, not a generic one from the internet, but one tuned to your island, your microclimate, and your personal garden rhythm. In the Caribbean, there's no single planting rule, but if you understand your seasons, protect your soil, and stay flexible, you can grow food year-round, even in a small space. Chapter 2, Easiest Starter Crops for Caribbean Beginners. When starting your garden, the best strategy is to grow crops that are forgiving, fast-growing, and familiar to your kitchen. In the Caribbean, some vegetables and herbs thrive with minimal effort, making them perfect for first-time growers. Here are the top choices. 1. Callaloo Amaranth. Why it's great, grows fast, tolerates poor soil, and loves the heat. Callaloo is a Caribbean staple and one of the most resilient greens. Planting: sow directly into soil or containers. Thin out crowded sprouts to promote healthy growth. Time to harvest: 3 to 5 weeks for tender young leaves. Tips: water consistently, but avoid overwatering. Harvest frequently to encourage more growth. 2. Pak choy, bok choy. Why it's great: grows quickly, tolerates shade, and thrives in containers. Planting best started during the cooler part of the dry season, December to March. Time to harvest, 30 to 45 days. Tips: protect from pests with netting. Use compost-rich soil for best leaf development. 3. Tomato, cherry, or plum? Why it's great: high yield in small spaces. Fresh tomatoes taste far better than store-bought. Planting needs full sun, well-drained soil, and support stakes or cages. Time to harvest, 60 to 90 days, depending on the variety. Tips: start with disease-resistant types. Water at the base, not the leaves. 4. Sweet pepper, bell, or seasoning. Why it's great: easy to grow in pots or beds. Adds color and flavor to any dish. Planting needs warmth and lots of light. Space plants at least 12 inches apart. Time to harvest, 70 to 90 days. Tips: use mulch to retain moisture and reduce weeds. Start with transplants if possible. 5. Hot pepper, Scotch bonnet, cayenne. Why it's great: heat tolerant, long producing, and a Caribbean favorite. Planting requires sun, airflow, and rich soil. Time to harvest, 75 to 100 days. Tips: hot peppers love compost and slightly acidic soil. Handle with care during harvest. 6. Thyme. Why it's great: hardy, drought tolerant, and a kitchen essential. Planting great in containers or borders, grows as a low spreading shrub. Time to harvest: 6 to 8 weeks after planting. Tips: trim regularly to encourage dense growth. Let soil dry slightly between waterings. 7. Lettuce, tropical varieties. Why it's great: quick to grow and perfect for shaded balconies. Planting best during the cooler dry season. Avoid heavy midday sun. Time to harvest, 4 to 6 weeks. Tips: plant every 2 weeks for a continuous harvest. 8. Okra, lady's fingers. Why it's great: loves heat, resists pests, and produces daily during peak season. Planting: direct sow into soil, needs full sun and regular harvesting. Time to harvest, 50 to 60 days. Tips: harvest pods when they're 3 to 4 inches long. Too large means too tough. 9. Cucumbers. Why it's great: climbs well in small gardens and yields generously. Planting: needs trellising, rich soil, and plenty of sun. Time to harvest, 50 to 70 days. Tips: pick regularly to keep vines producing. 10. Herbs for beginners: mint, basil, chive. Why they're great: perfect for windowsills, buckets, or borders. Great for teas and seasoning. Tips: don't overwater mint. Basil thrives in warmth. Chive loves morning sun. Start small, grow confident. You don't have to plant everything at once. Begin with 2 or 3 crops that match your cooking habits and your available sunlight. It's better to master a few plants than to overwhelm yourself with many. Chapter 3, Finding the Right Seeds, Heirloom, Organic, and Local Options. The success of your garden starts long before planting. It starts with your seeds. Choosing the right type of seed affects not just how your plants grow, but how they taste, how they resist pests, and how they adapt to the Caribbean climate. Let's walk through what matters when selecting seeds and where to find the best ones. 1. understand the main seed types, there are three major categories you'll see on seed packets. Each has pros and cons, heirloom seeds. These seeds come from plant varieties that have been passed down for generations. They are open-pollinated, meaning you can save seeds and replant them. Heirloom crops often have rich flavor and strong genetics. Best for gardeners who want to save seeds and grow traditional varieties. Hybrid seeds, F1. These are a cross between two parent plants designed for higher yield, disease resistance, or faster growth. However, their seeds usually won't grow true to type if replanted. Best for maximum yield and disease protection, but not ideal for seed saving. Organic seeds, grown without synthetic fertilizers, pesticides, or GMOs. Organic seeds are often more resilient in natural conditions. Best for sustainable gardeners who want chemical-free growing. 2. What seeds work best in the Caribbean? In hot, humid, tropical climates, some seed varieties perform better than others. Look for heat-tolerant strains. Tomatoes, lettuce, and spinach need tropical-adapted varieties to avoid bolting or wilting. Fast-maturing plants, the shorter the time to harvest, the less chance of weather or pest damage. Disease resistance, especially for peppers, cucumbers, and tomatoes, which can suffer in high humidity. Some Caribbean-specific seed names you might see include Jamaican Callaloo, Amaranth Green, Trinidad Seasoning Pepper, Caribbean Red Scotch Bonnet, Calypso Tomato, West Indian Gherkin. 3. Where to buy seeds, online and local sources, local markets and farmers. Ask elder farmers at your local market. They often sell saved seeds adapted to your region. Some communities have seed swap days or cooperative farming groups. This is a great way to share and learn. Regional agricultural offices. Many Caribbean agricultural extensions offer starter seed packs or lists of reliable seed sources for your island. Online seed companies that ship to the Caribbean. Caribbean Garden Seed, USA-based Caribbean varieties. Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds, Seeds of Change, organic only. Tropical Permaculture, informational with links. Local Amazon regional sites with verified vendors. Always check for tropical climate suitability, organic or non-GMO certification, seed shelf life, check expiration. 4. Tips for storing and organizing your seeds. Seeds are living things. They lose viability over time. Here's how to store them. Keep in a cool, dry place, away from direct sunlight. Use sealed containers or zip bags with silica gel packs to reduce moisture. Label each packet with crop name, variety, date bought, and source. Check germination dates. Most seeds are best within 1 to 3 years. You can also build a small seed storage box using recycled tins or jars. Organize them by growing season or category, leafy greens, roots, herbs, etc. 5. Save your own seeds. Later on, once your garden is established, you can learn to harvest and store your own seeds. Start with easy ones like Callaloo. Let some go to flower and dry. Pak choy, collect seed pods after flowering. Peppers and tomatoes, dry seeds from ripe fruit. Basil and thyme, clip dry flower heads. Seed saving makes your garden self-reliant and saves money year after year. Key takeaway: start with reliable, tropical-friendly seeds. Choose heirloom or organic when you can. Buy from trusted local growers or reputable websites. And over time, build your own seed library. Chapter 4, Starting Your Seeds, Germination Made Simple. Once you have the right seeds, the next step is to help them wake up and grow. That's where germination comes in. Germination is the process where a seed breaks open and begins to sprout. It's one of the most exciting stages of gardening and also one of the most delicate. Let's walk through how to start your seeds properly in the Caribbean climate. 1. Understand what seeds need to germinate. Seeds need 5 key things to sprout. Moisture softens the seed coat so it can break open. Warmth Most tropical seeds prefer soil temperatures between 75 degrees Fahrenheit to 85 degrees Fahrenheit, 24 degrees Celsius to 29 degrees Celsius. Air. Seeds breathe. Compact or soggy soil cuts off oxygen. Darkness or light. Some seeds need darkness. Others require light. Check your seed packet. Time. Germination can take anywhere from 2 to 21 days, depending on the crop. 2. Choose how you'll start your seeds. You have two main options. A. Direct sowing, planting seeds straight into your garden bed or container. Best for kalaloo, pak choi, okra, cucumbers. B. Seed trays or starter pots. Small compartments filled with soil for starting seeds indoors or in shaded areas. Best for tomatoes, peppers, herbs, and crops that need babying. Use egg cartons, yogurt cups, or seed trays. Just make sure there are drainage holes. 3. Make the right soil mix. Seeds don't need rich fertilizer at first, but they do need light, loose, and well-draining soil to sprout. Try this homemade mix. One part coconut coir or peat moss holds moisture. One part fine compost or worm castings provides gentle nutrients. One part perlite or sand improves drainage and airflow. Avoid heavy topsoil. It's too dense for seedlings. Fill your tray or pot with the mix, then lightly moisten it with a spray bottle. 4. Planting the seeds. Check the depth instructions on the seed packet. A general rule is, plant a seed twice as deep as it is wide. Drop 1 to 3 seeds into each cell or hole. Gently cover with soil and mist again. Use labels to track what you've planted, especially if growing multiple varieties. 5. Create the right germination environment. Keep your seed trays warm, place in a sunny window, warm room, or use a plastic cover to trap heat. Moist but not soaked. Mist daily. Never let the soil dry out completely. Shaded from harsh midday sun, indirect light works best until sprouts appear. If temperatures drop at night, place your trays near the stove on top of the fridge or in a warm cupboard. 6. When you'll see sprouts. Here's a quick guide. Kalaloo, 2 to 4 days. Pak choi, 3 to 5 days. Tomatoes, 5 to 10 days. Peppers, 7 to 14 days. Thyme and basil, 7 to 10 days. Once you see green shoots emerge, remove any plastic covers and move the tray where it gets 6 to 8 hours of light daily. 7. Thinning and caring for seedlings. When seedlings develop 2 sets of leaves, thin them by snipping the weaker ones with scissors. This gives space for the strongest to grow. Avoid overwatering. Instead, water from the base by placing the tray in a shallow pan of water for 15 minutes. This encourages roots to grow downward. 8. Hardening off before transplanting. Before moving seedlings to their final home, like a bed or bucket, they need to adjust to real outdoor conditions. Do this by placing them outside in shade for 1 to 2 hours a day. Gradually increase exposure over 7 days. Watch for wilting and never expose to wind or full sun too soon. Once hardened, you're ready to transplant. Chapter 5. Transplanting seedlings into garden beds, buckets, or plots. Once your seedlings are strong and ready, it's time to move them into their permanent home. This process is called transplanting. Doing it right can mean the difference between healthy, productive plants or shocked, stunted ones. Let's go step by step. 1. Know when your seedlings are ready. Your seedlings are ready to transplant when they have 2 to 4 true leaves, not just the baby leaves. They're 4 to 6 inches tall and standing upright. Their roots are beginning to fill the pot or tray, but not circling or tangling. If you tug gently on the seedling and the soil moves with it, that's a sign of a healthy root system. 2. Choose the final growing location. You can transplant into raised beds, best for managing soil, drainage, and weeds. Buckets or containers, great for small spaces, patios, and balconies. Direct ground or plots, ideal if you have space and good soil. Make sure the spot gets sunlight based on the crop's needs. Leafy greens and herbs, 4 to 6 hours. tomatoes, peppers, okra, 6 to 8 hours. Root vegetables, 5 to 7 hours. 3. Prepare the soil. Before planting, loosen the soil with a fork or hand tool down 6 to 8 inches. Mix in compost, aged manure, or worm castings. Remove rocks, weeds, and debris. Water the soil lightly an hour before transplanting. Damp soil prevents shock. In containers, use a mix of compost, cocoa peat, and coarse sand or perlite. 4th transplanting steps. Follow these steps carefully. Dig a hole about twice the size of the seedling's root ball. Gently remove the seedling by pushing from the bottom of the tray or pot. Hold it by the leaves, not the stem. Place in the hole, ensuring the root ball is fully covered. For tomatoes, bury a bit deeper than normal to encourage extra root growth. Fill around the roots with soil and press gently to firm it in place. Water immediately to settle the soil and reduce transplant stress. If the sun is harsh, shade the seedlings for the first 1 to 2 days using a banana leaf, cardboard, or cloth. 5. Spacing guidelines. Leave enough room between plants. Callaloo, 6 to 8 inches apart. Pak choi, 8 to 10 inches apart. Tomatoes, 18 to 24 inches apart. Peppers, 12 to 18 inches apart. Okra, 12 to 18 inches apart. Thyme and herbs, 6 to 12 inches apart. Crowded plants compete for nutrients, air, and light. 6. Watering after transplant. For the first week, water daily in the early morning or late evening. Avoid soaking. Keep soil moist, not soggy. Once plants are established, shift to watering every 2 to 3 days, depending on rainfall and heat. Use mulch, like dry grass, coconut husk, or leaves around the base of plants to keep moisture in and weeds out. 7. Watch for transplant ear shock. Some signs your plant is struggling after transplant. Droopy leaves, yellowing, wilting despite watering. Don't panic, this is common. Protect with temporary shade and consistent watering for a few days. Most plants bounce back. 8. Feeding your plants. Light fertilizer. Wait 7 to 10 days after transplanting before adding any fertilizer. Use natural options. Compost tea, diluted fish emulsion, banana peel water. Feed every 2 to 3 weeks to support steady growth. Key takeaway, transplanting is a turning point in your garden. With the right care, your seedlings will take root and thrive. Treat them gently, water them wisely, and give them room to grow. Chapter 6, Natural Pest and Disease Control in Your Caribbean Garden. Once your plants are in the ground, they begin to attract attention. Not just from you, but from bugs, fungi, and other threats. In the Caribbean, pests can appear quickly due to the warm, moist climate, but chemical sprays aren't your only option. In this chapter, you'll learn how to identify common garden problems and control them naturally using simple, safe, and sustainable methods. 1. Common Caribbean garden pests. These are the most common troublemakers, aphids, tiny green, black, or white insects that suck sap from leaves and stems. Whiteflies, small white flying insects found on the underside of leaves. Caterpillars, chew large holes in leaves. Snails and slugs, leave shiny slime trails and chew on young shoots. Mites, microscopic pests that cause yellow spotting or webbing. Cutworms, hide in the soil and chop down young seedlings at the base. Second signs of disease. Watch out for yellowing or curling leaves, not related to water. Black spots or powdery white patches on leaves. Mold or rot at the base of the plant. Stunted growth or wilted stems. These are often signs of fungal or bacterial infections, made worse by poor air circulation or overwatering. 3. Prevention. First, prevention is your best defense. Rotate crops. Don't plant the same crop in the same spot every season. Space plants properly. Airflow reduces disease risk. Mulch keeps soil healthy and discourages crawling pests. Water in the morning prevents overnight fungus growth. Inspect regularly. Check under leaves and at soil level 2 to 3 times a week. Healthy plants are naturally more resistant to pests and disease. 4. Natural pest control methods. You don't need chemicals to defend your garden. Try these methods. Neem oil spray. Mix 1 tablespoon neem oil plus 1 teaspoon mild soap plus 1 liter of water. Spray on leaves in the evening every 7 to 10 days. Works against aphids, mites, whiteflies, and some fungi. Garlic and pepper spray. Blend 1 head of garlic plus 2 hot peppers plus 1 liter of water. Strain and spray in early morning. Repels soft-bodied insects. Banana water. Soak banana peels in water for 2 days. Water plants with it to strengthen roots and reduce stress. Manual removal. Pick off caterpillars or slugs early in the morning. Drop them into a jar of soapy water. Beer trap for slugs. Place a shallow dish of beer in the soil at night. Slugs are drawn to it and drown. 5. Natural disease control, baking soda spray. 1 tablespoon baking soda plus 1 teaspoon liquid soap plus 1 liter water. Spray on plants with powdery mildew or black spots. Hydrogen peroxide wash. Mix 1 part hydrogen peroxide, 3%, with 3 parts water. Use to rinse tools or treat fungal infected soil. Chamomile tea. Use cooled chamomile tea to mist seedlings. It fights fungal issues in young plants. 6. Companion planting for protection. Grow these plants near your vegetables to repel pests. Basil. Repels flies and mosquitoes, improves tomato growth. Marigold. Deters nematodes and whiteflies. Mint. Drives away ants and aphids. Keep it in pots. It spreads fast. Lemongrass. Strong citronella scent keeps many bugs away. Planting flowers and herbs among your crops also attracts beneficial insects like ladybugs and lacewings that eat pests for you. 7. Encourage birds and frogs. Install a bird bath or keep a small pond container in your garden. Birds eat caterpillars and frogs eat mosquitoes and slugs. Avoid harsh insecticides. These harm helpful creatures and pollinators like bees. 8. Keep a pest journal. Every garden is different. Keep a notebook or phone record of what pests you've seen, when they appeared, what worked to manage them. Over time, you'll learn patterns and stay ahead of problems. Key takeaway: you don't need poison to protect your plants. With regular inspection, natural sprays, companion planting, and a bit of observation, you can grow strong crops the sustainable way. Chapter 7. Supporting your plants, pruning, staking, and encouraging growth. Once your garden is in full swing, the work doesn't stop. Now comes the part where you help your plants grow strong, steady, and productive. Just like children, your crops need guidance. In this chapter, you'll learn how to support your plants using simple methods like pruning, staking, tying, and shaping. 1. Why plant support matters. Supporting your plants does 3 important things. Prevents stems from snapping or bending in heavy rain or wind. Keeps leaves and fruit off the soil, which reduces disease and rot. Encourages stronger roots and higher yields. Especially in the Caribbean, where sudden rain, strong sun, and pests are common, plant support is a must. 2. Which crops need support? You don't need to stake everything. Here's a quick guide. Need support: tomatoes, peppers, okra, cucumbers, pole beans, callaloo in windy areas. Does not usually need support: pak choi. Herbs like thyme and basil, bush beans, root crops like carrots or beets. 3. Staking and trellising basics. A. Staking: use sticks, bamboo, or wooden poles. Place the stake 1 to 2 inches from the plant base, gently pushing into the soil. Use soft ties like strips of cloth, banana fiber, or garden tape to secure the plant loosely. Stake tomatoes early, right after transplanting. For peppers and okra, stake when they reach about 8 inches tall. B. Trellising. Trellises work well for climbing crops like cucumbers and pole beans. Build a simple A-frame or vertical trellis with string or bamboo. Train the plant by wrapping young vines around the support. Tie vines loosely every few days until they climb on their own. Trellises keep fruit clean and make harvesting easier. 4. Pruning for productivity. Pruning means removing extra growth to help the plant focus its energy. Tomatoes. Remove the suckers, which are small shoots that grow between the stem and a branch. Pinch them off once a week. Too many suckers lead to bushy plants and fewer fruits. Callaloo, pinch the tops of young plants to encourage bushy full growth. Peppers and herbs, snip off dead or yellowing leaves and any leaves touching the ground. Use clean scissors or garden snips. Wipe the blades with alcohol or vinegar to avoid spreading disease. 5. Mulching to support growth. Mulch is your garden's best friend. Spread a 2 to 3 inch layer around the base of your plants using dry coconut husk, banana leaves, grass clippings, sawdust, untreated. Mulch helps to retain moisture, suppress weeds, keep the soil temperature stable, feed the soil slowly as it breaks down. 6. Watering the right way. As plants grow, their water needs change. Water deeply, but less often, 2 to 3 times per week, depending on rainfall. Water at the base of the plant, not the leaves. Wet leaves encourage disease. Use a watering can with a narrow spout or drip bottle. Stick your finger into the soil. If it's dry 2 inches down, it's time to water. 7. Feeding as plants grow. Now is the time for light feeding every 2 weeks. Use the compost tea. Soak a cloth bag of compost in water for 2 days. Then water your plants with the liquid. Banana peel or fish emulsion water, high in potassium and trace minerals. Liquid seaweed, if available, boosts root strength and resistance. Always water plants first, then apply liquid fertilizer to avoid root burn. 8. Guiding vines and climbing plants. Crops like cucumbers and pole beans need a little encouragement. Use soft string to guide vines toward their trellis or pole. Check daily and wrap gently to train their direction. Avoid tight knots. Plants grow fast and can strangle themselves if tied too tightly. 9. Observe and adjust. Spend time with your garden every morning or evening. Look for new growth. Check that ties are not too tight. Watch how plants respond to pruning and feeding. Adjust as needed. Gardening is part science, part intuition. Key takeaway: your job doesn't end when you plant. Supporting your plants physically and nutritionally leads to bigger, healthier harvests. With proper staking, pruning, mulching, and care, your garden will thrive through every stage. Chapter 8, Harvesting, When and How to Pick Your Food for Peak Flavor. Harvesting your crops is one of the most satisfying parts of homesteading, but there's more to it than just pulling vegetables off the plant. Timing, technique, and storage all matter if you want flavor, nutrition, and freshness to shine. This chapter walks you through how to harvest key Caribbean crops the right way, so nothing goes to waste and every bite counts. 1. Signs that your crop is ready. Every plant gives clues when it's time to harvest. Callaloo, harvest when stalks are 12 to 18 inches tall. Pick the top 6 to 8 inches, leaving the base to regrow. Pak choy, ready when the head is compact and about 6 inches tall. Harvest whole or cut leaves as needed. Tomatoes, pick when fully colored, red, yellow, or orange, depending on variety, and slightly soft to the touch. Peppers, for green varieties, harvest once firm and glossy. Leave longer for red, orange, or yellow maturity. Thyme, cut stems when about 6 inches long, before flowers appear. Cucumbers, ready when firm, deep green, and 6 to 8 inches long. Don't let them get too fat. Bitterness increases with age. Okra, harvest pods when 3 to 4 inches long. If too big, they get woody and tough. Check plants every 1 to 2 days during peak season. Many crops ripen fast. Second best time of day to harvest. Early morning is best. Plants are still hydrated and flavors are concentrated. Avoid midday harvests. Heat causes wilting. If harvesting herbs, do it before flowering for the strongest flavor. Third, harvesting techniques. Always use sharp, clean tools to avoid damaging plants. Use these tools: scissors or garden snips, pruning shears for thick stems, your hands with gentle care. Harvesting tips. Cut, don't yank. Yanking damages roots and branches. Leave a bit of stem on fruits like peppers and tomatoes to extend shelf life. For leafy greens, use a cut-and-come-again method. Harvest outer leaves and let the inner ones grow. 4. Encouraging continued growth. Some crops grow back after harvest. Callaloo and pak choy trim tops and allow 1 to 2 weeks to regrow. Thyme and basil cut 1/3 of the plant each time to keep it productive. Okra and cucumber, the more you harvest, the more they produce. Don't let mature fruit stay on the plant too long. It signals the plant to stop producing. 5. Storing your harvest. Short-term storage. Tips. Leafy greens, callaloo, pak choy. Rinse, shake, dry, and wrap in a damp cloth or paper towel. Keep in the fridge crisper drawer. Tomatoes, store at room temperature if uncut. Refrigeration dulls flavor unless fully ripe. Peppers, store in a dry bag or container in the fridge. Herbs, thyme, basil, store in a jar with water like a bouquet or dry them for later use. Drying herbs, tie stems in small bundles, hang upside down in a dark, dry place. Once dry, crumble into jars and label. 6. Preserving your extras. If your harvest is abundant, here are some simple ways to preserve. Freeze chopped herbs in olive oil cubes. Make pepper sauce or tomato chutney. Blanch and freeze okra or pak choy for soups later. Sun-dry small tomatoes or cucumbers. Preservation helps you stretch your harvest across the seasons. 7. Sharing the surplus. Don't forget your neighbors, friends, or community members. Sharing extra food builds bonds and reduces waste. Host a small produce trade. Give herbs to someone who loves to cook. Drop off a few greens to an elder nearby. A harvest becomes more meaningful when it's shared. 8. Keeping records. Start a harvest journal to track what you picked, when it ripened, what you did with it. This helps you prepare for future planting and improve your harvest over time. Key takeaway: harvesting is more than picking. It's the reward for your care, your time, and your trust in the land. When you harvest with intention, you taste the difference in every bite. Chapter 9, Seeing the Garden as a Living System. Your garden is more than soil and seeds. It's a living, breathing system, one that reflects balance, care, and the rhythm of nature. In this final chapter, we step back and look at the garden as a whole, showing you how to observe it, understand it, and let it guide your next steps as a Caribbean homesteader. 1. A garden is a cycle, not a checklist. Unlike a shopping list or a to-do plan, gardening isn't a straight line. It's a circle. You prepare soil, you plant, you water and feed, you protect and guide, you harvest, and then you return scraps to the soil, you begin again. This ongoing cycle is what makes homesteading feel alive. Respecting that rhythm helps you grow not just food, but a relationship with the earth. 2. Start noticing the signs. Your garden speaks, you just have to listen. Practice this daily. Are your leaves drooping or standing tall? Is your soil moist or dry 2 inches down? Do the birds or bees visit? Are pests showing up in one corner but not another? Observation builds intuition, and intuition builds mastery. 3. Trust small adjustments over big fixes. Don't rush to solve problems with chemicals or expensive products. Try simple changes first. Dry cracking soil, add mulch. Leaves turning yellow, check watering or feed with compost tea. Insects, spray neem oil, use garlic water, or introduce companion plants. Nature responds best to gentle corrections, not force. 4. Think long term. Plan for the next season. Your first crop is just the beginning. Now it's time to ask, what worked well in this cycle? What struggled or failed and why? What do I want to try next season? You can rotate crops, try new seed varieties, improve your compost, or expand your container garden. Even if you start small, you're now part of a longer journey. 5. Use your waste to feed the future. Don't throw anything away. Use vegetable peels, eggshells, and garden clippings in compost, old plants as mulch, leftover seeds for sprouting or saving. When you close the loop, your garden becomes self-sustaining. 6. Involve your household or community. The joy of gardening multiplies when you share it. Let your children water the plants. Invite a neighbor to swap seeds. Teach someone how to prune their pepper tree. Homesteading isn't just about independence, it's about interdependence. The more hands and hearts involved, the stronger your food system becomes. 7. Celebrate the wins, learn from the losses. Maybe your tomatoes exploded with fruit, but your time never took off. That's normal. Celebrate every sprouting seed, every harvested leaf, every meal that came from your yard, and learn from what didn't go right. You didn't fail. You gained experience. 8. Mind, body, and soil connection. Gardening is physical. It stretches your back, stains your hands, and sometimes tires you out. But it also heals stress, builds confidence, connects you to something real. The soil doesn't just grow food, it grounds your spirit. 9. Trust the process. Nature knows what she's doing. Even when things go wrong, like a pest outbreak or sudden rain, remember, nature is your teacher. She shows you patience. She shows you timing. She shows you resilience. Let your garden grow you while you grow it. Key takeaway, homesteading isn't about being perfect. It's about being present. Your garden is a teacher, a provider, a healer, and a partner. Learn to see it as a living system, and you'll never look at food or life the same way again. And with that, your first full planting cycle is complete. Next season, you'll be better, stronger, wiser, more rooted than ever. Now go, grow something beautiful.